What pulled me to these texts rather than the other ones is this whole idea of struggle. And so the sermon title is, Are We Struggling Alone? Are you? So it's not just the corporate, are we struggling alone? Are you struggling alone? And there's something about it that for many of us, and me, I try not to speak for other people, but in my experience, it's very easy for me to say, I am the only one. Whether I'm the only one that's right, I'm the only one who doesn't get it, I'm the only one who's not in or whatever. And it seems to be common. I've heard other people describing the same kind of thing, that feeling that they are, well, that they're all alone. And groups can feel the same. It's not unheard of for church groups to think that they are the only people who are really faithful to the witness. And that doesn't always help. There's church groups that feel that they are just not connecting with their community and they're feeling alone. And so we can live there and we can spend our time feeling alone. But I really think most of us would rather have allies. One of the things that I have found over the years, as our culture has sort of moved into more identifiable groups, the LGBT2S community is now a group that we recognize, we see them. The Indigenous people are a group we recognize in a way we never did before. Women, amazing, are a group that we recognize in a way that we never did before. And all of these groups talk about the need for allies. And the reason why I mention this is because much as we might like to, we don't get to decide whether we're an ally or not. It's the people on the inside who say we're an ally. And often we don't know who those people are, and sometimes we don't know until they tell us. So what do we do if we're feeling all alone? Well, Scripture has a couple of very useful things for us today. Elijah is feeling all alone, and he's feeling all alone. And let's not dismiss his feelings. They are as legitimate and real as any feeling is. Feelings, we should never ignore them, but we also need to interrogate them now and then to see whether they're based on reality. If I'm feeling that my finger hurts because I hit it with a hammer, the interrogation doesn't take very long. If I'm feeling alone, there's often a bit more going into it. And so Elijah complains to God, got a good relationship with God, and says, here I am. I'm the only one. And it's not just that everybody's abandoned me. Everybody else has been killed. And so we have the story of the God going past in big noisy things and not speaking there and then speaking quietly and saying that, no, there are some things that I have for you to do, and they will be useful for me. And then at the end, he says, depending on the translation, this one says, yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal and all whose mouths have not kissed him. Elijah was not alone. He felt alone. He lived his life as if he was alone, at least to that point. But there are at least 7,000 more who, just like him, had not bent to this appalling God that he was being required to worship. And I find it really interesting that God tells Elijah about all these other people after he tells Elijah what he's going to do, which is go and anoint Hazael, king of the Aram, anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi. There's a piece of work, as you'll see if you continue on in Kings. Anoint Elijah, but that you're not alone. You have people who believe what you believe, who follow the God that you follow. And that's something that we sometimes forget. And then we turn over to Matthew. Jesus walking on the water. And I always felt there was sort of one way to look at this story, and it's a story about Peter and Jesus, of course. Yeah, it's Peter being Peter and all that. Well, I came across something by Diane Butler Bass, who said, maybe it's not about Jesus and Peter. Maybe it's about the people in the boat. Because what's interesting is we have, okay, they're out in this boat. They're obviously facing some kind of a headwind. Nothing is working for them. And then during the fourth watch, 4 in the morning, whatever it is, Jesus is out there walking on the lake. And when the disciples saw him, they were terrified, which makes sense to me. If I saw someone walking on water, I would not go, well, look, it's a delightful miracle. I would probably think something along, I wouldn't think it was a ghost. I don't really think of ghosts much, but still. Jesus said, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Now, at this point, they actually had two choices, and I'd never thought of this before. But you have Jesus obviously making his way across the lake. They could do as Peter says, okay, if it's you, tell me to come out and join you. What would have happened if they just followed him? What if instead of being out there in this little boat, in this massive lake that is apparently trying to kill them, what if instead of getting out and trying to be like Jesus by walking on the water, what if they'd followed Jesus, who obviously is not bothered by any kind of winds? We don't know if he was going in the same direction or slightly. We don't know any of that, because that's not what the story doesn't tell us, that part. And I wonder, as Ms. Bass pushed me to think a little bit, that maybe this story is partially about the choices made. Now, Peter sort of made a choice to follow God. And follow Jesus. And I'm not saying that he did it mendaciously or anything like that. But what I get from this is, prove that you're you. And to have someone say, prove that you're you, doesn't really fit with the life of faith. Like, I don't ask the people who love me if they love me on a regular basis. I don't need to, and might even be considered a little offensive, or at least a little odd. And so if we take that away, and we just consider for a moment, if the disciples would have steered their boat to follow Jesus, would they have felt less alone? Would the struggle have been less difficult? We don't know. And I'm not certain that's the point of the story, because there's a lot of things in there about having faith and following Jesus and asking for the things that you want, no matter what, and all of that. But as I was thinking about struggling, and I was thinking about all those struggles that I've gone through entirely alone, and the number of times when I have somehow survived them and have been talking about them later, people who cared about me and wanted me to be well and wished me well said, why didn't you say anything? I could have helped you. I would have loved to have helped you. Struggling alone is not a choice we make all the time, but sometimes it is. And for me, the thing that pushes me to say I'm the only one is pride. I'd like to make it more righteous than that, but it's pride. And a lot of it goes back to being raised in the time I was, being male, and we fix things and we don't ask for help, all that patriarchy stuff that's driving us all crazy, and that most of us are working as hard as we can to shed. But I didn't ask for help because I didn't want to be seen as someone who needed help. And when you put it that way, you just think that's the most ridiculous thing you can say. Everybody needs help. You need help with something. No one I've ever met can carry a piano by themselves. And sometimes you need to move a piano. It's hard enough to boost your car yourself. You ever tried to do that? You can. But if the other car's battery's a little weird, you've now wrecked two cars. It's just not a good idea. Have some help. Have somebody sitting in the other car to rev the engine gently and everything works well. There are lots of things we would never do without asking for help. Appendectomies, for example. The only self-administered appendectomy I've ever heard of was in Antarctica. Not recommended by the guy who did it. Which is why if you are going to spend any time in Antarctica, you have to have your appendix taken out before you leave. It's a weird story. I have no idea how it showed up in this sermon, but there you go. When we struggle alone, as a group, as a couple, as an individual, I think sometimes we need to take a bit of a step back and ask, are we alone? What does it mean that we're alone? Sometimes we're called to struggle alone. There are some struggles that we do, or, you know, just us and God. You know, we don't involve other people for whatever reason. But often, asking for help makes us stronger and makes the person who helps us stronger. It builds relationship. One of the things that I have learned through both the study of spiritual gifts and the recovery movement is that every time you don't ask for help, you're robbing someone of an opportunity to be who they are out of who they are. Every time you don't ask for help, there's somebody that's what makes them who they are. People with the gifts of help, people who get emotional energy and this deep sense of satisfaction from helping other people. You've stolen that from them because you're too proud to ask for help. You'd rather fail, look like an idiot, than what? Are you supposed to abase yourself before your friend when you ask them to come and help you move the piano? No, of course not. You phone them up and you say, I need to move the piano from one wall to another. The rug won't let it roll. We're going to have to pick it up. They come over. They help you move the piano. You have a glass of water or whatever you drink afterwards. You have a good laugh about it. Your relationship is strengthened. They feel good. You feel good. I don't want this to come across as saying that when we are struggling alone or feeling we're struggling alone, that this is something we have chosen with all of our sort of our full brain. Often it comes out of habits that we learned when we were little. Sometimes it comes out of bad experiences, because not everybody you ask for help helps you. Sometimes you ask for help and you are mocked and ridiculed because you're not manly enough, or I don't know, maybe not womanly enough, that I can't speak to, but I suppose it could happen. So it's not always that you're doing something. Sometimes you're just being not quite the best you yet, because you were raised not to ask for help. You were raised to be on your own and take care of things. You were raised in that fictitious world of the self-made person, of which there are none. So if we're struggling, and if you're struggling, I want you to know you have allies. I know I hope to be one for you if I can be. And I may not know who your allies are, but the story in the Old Testament suggests to me that we are never without allies, even if we haven't found them yet, even if we don't know them yet. One of the things that keeps me hugging people at pride parades is letting them know in a tactile way that they have somebody on their side who they don't even know. It is a profound moment for many, and always for me. Not because there's anything special about me, not even that there's something particularly special about them other than the community that they identify with, but it lets them know that they're not alone. facing the world alone isn't something anybody wants. I don't know if it's the worst thing in the world, but it's pretty darn close. Facing the world knowing that somebody has your back, doesn't that change everything? Doesn't that make it a little bit easier to do the hard thing? Whatever the hard thing is, when somebody says, I'll be there with you if you need me. I'll be happy to come along. I'll be happy to lift the other end of the piano. Not because I like lifting pianos, because I love you. Struggling alone doesn't ever make us stronger. It just makes us weaker. Being dependent on other people and being in interdependent relationships makes us stronger. We even live longer. It's an amazing thing, but we have to release the idea that we are struggling alone, that we're the only people who get it, that we're the only people who don't get it, whatever it might be. And for some of us, that's easier than others. But the thing I do know is that we can all do it. And maybe it begins with just telling yourself that Jesus is with me always. Always. Jesus is always with me. And then from there you move out to the people who you may need physical things from or whatever else it might be. But it all begins by saying, no, I am not alone. I have allies, and above all, I have the Christ. Amen. Let us pray.